is that my cue? Okay. I don't know. I let the music play too much last week, but I just love that angel choir. So, greetings, fellow Republic Broadcasting Network listeners. Today is the 15th day of October in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2023. And Dr. Lorraine Day was kind of tentatively scheduled for the third Sunday of the month this month, but she's still involved with a family emergency, and so I'd ask that all of you keep her and her family in your prayers, and maybe next month on the third Sunday she can make it with us. But so you're listening to Yours Truly Myrrh, and we have a chat room, yourstrulymyrrh.chatango.com. And a couple things I want to cover today. In particular, I'm going to play a lot of an interview with Jerry Marzinski. It was the last one he posted, and it was done about a month ago, so he wasn't up on this other bit, but he does mention about Ukraine in there. And this is about how actually we're all affected by these negative thoughts that we think are ours, and they're not. It's demonic. You know? So we don't even realize, but the Ashkenazi Jews, they did studies with them done by Jews some years ago, and they found that the Ashkenazi were 40% more likely to suffer from schizophrenia than the rest of the populace in general. And, it turns out schizophrenia is demon obsession and possession, and it starts with these voices, and some of them then never leave because the people are constantly agitated and fearful. And that's what they're doing to us, just mass, you know, macroscopic, same type of thing, gaslighting us and just causing fear all the time and lying to us, just totally lying to us. But before we get to that, I wanted to remind people of something that I caught and then sort of read it wrong in a way. But back on 9/11, Richard Carey had a roundtable that Friday with Michael Gaddy and Graham Sutherland and Blackburn Nine, Frederick C. Blackburn. And in this clip, you'll hear him, if you want to get that first one ready there, Sam, telling Graham Sutherland after he had asked a question of Blackburn about just how much control the Mossad and Israel had on that day. If you play that, Sam, please.
But it debuts one of the next upcoming Sundays. That'll be 3 p.m. Central. Be sure to check that out. And we have another special guest joining us for this anniversary, this tainted anniversary. We have Mr. Blackburn Nine here with us. Blackburn, thank you for joining.
Greetings, good sirs. Happy Defy the Laws of Physics Day. I hear this is where all the uppity Amalek are getting together to talk smack about 9/11. So what y'all want to talk about?
Yes, sir. Well, my good friend Graham here is not familiar with you gentlemen. I'm trying to get you acquainted. But, well, you know, Graham, both of these gentlemen in the past have worked with none other than the National Security Agency. And so these are hardcore whistleblowers we're with here today. Michael Gaddy from the mid-60s into at least the mid-80s there. He was in a control room when the USS Liberty was being attacked. And Blackburn over here. Now, Blackburn, you mentioned you were in the agency during the 9/11 and the aftermath. And, well, I mean, you certainly were all on board to sort things out properly from the start. That was certainly abruptly thwarted, as you tell us.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely backstage on 9/11 and in the run-up to 9/11. And for those not familiar with my work, I used to be a highly paid, highly respected course developer for telecommunications, right? And so I was basically contracted in to develop a series of classes, what we were trying to do is convert the second generation of telephony into third generation telephony, basically converging the telephone networks and the computer networks. And so my clients were not only all the telcos, but also the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, all your state, you know, agencies, you know, state governments, et cetera, military intelligence, naval intelligence, et cetera. And before 9/11, I could see that what they were doing was violating not only the Constitution, but the, you know, the FISA laws, right? And, you know, for example, one of the first things the NSA asked when I was giving my classes is I said, I'm assuming you'll want the international version, which uses a different type of signaling, E1 signaling. And they said, no, we want the American version, uses T1 signaling. And I'm like, okay, you just said you're committing treason and violating everything the Church Senate Committee, you know, settled. So before, you know, 9/11, I knew there was something very wrong in the telecommunication industry. Then 9/11 happened, and I became a 9/11 truther on 9/11. What, you know, made me have that, oh heck no, you know, was, you know, Building 7, of course. It's like, no, you know, that just, no, that doesn't happen that way. And for me personally, it was the magic cell phone calls where they said they had these long, you know, conversations with people who died in the planes that went on for X number of minutes using second generation telephony, which was physically impossible. There's no way you could have a cell phone on these planes moving at that speed, at that altitude, and making a phone call with that year's model, right? And so, you know, like you always say, once you realize, to paraphrase, you know, Sherlock Holmes, once you realize what you're looking at is impossible, the only thing left, no matter how probable, has to be the truth. And so then you start saying who had the motive, who had the means, who had the opportunity. And then, you know, I was doing politics back then as a, in addition to my engineering jobs. And on the first anniversary, I came out for not only 9/11 truth, but blowing the whistle on the NSA in a paper entitled, "We're All Palestinians Now." And it was shortly after that that I got blacklisted from the industry and had my life ruined. So that's my sob story.
Wow, can I dive right in and ask you a quick fire question?
Oh, fine if it's fine with the host.
Absolutely.
I was just wondering if you'd heard the any, you know, further information about the fact that there was 60 mini nukes went missing out of Israel's arsenal in the months before 9/11. They were stolen.
Okay, I do not have any information on that. Like I said, the I was on the telecommunications side of everything. Now, one thing I'll ask you, if I could follow up that question, is have you ever heard that on 9/11, the entire U.S. arsenal was armed and ready to go because the Mossad had hacked all the launch codes, and that was the gun to the head of the U.S. military? Have you ever heard that? Because that's one of those things that just disappeared from the 9/11 truth movement.
No, but that's got a strong resonance of truth about it.
Uh-huh. Well, gentlemen, here
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Yeah, we really need to keep remembering these things, you know? So the Mossad, of course, is involved in what's going on now over there in Satan's sandbox, as some people call it. I've heard Roger Sales call it that. But they are seemingly trying to fulfill prophecy so they can get their Moshiach. And this is really the Sabbatean way of doing this, is, make the Messiah come by doing evil. So I guess they find that's easier to do evil than to do good. So you see how demons speaking to people might have something to play into this, you know? So Russ Winter's Winter Watch Hamas reeling after senior official revealed to be Israeli spy. So, and this was October 5th, and so this was revealed before the mysterious "come on in, you are welcome" Gaza Gaza fence penetration. And you know, we don't really even know any of it, but we do know that before this, too, that Israelis, Jews, were, or non-Judean, synagogue of Satan, whatever, were flooding all around the mosque. And they had done this in 2019, too, where they flood it and go in through the Moroccan doors and interrupt the women's prayers that were being held separately. So it's always like this. They're you know, bound and determined to take over that spot where they want to have that third temple and have the Moshiach come come back, or come, and it's supposed to be from the house of David and a man, and so it's not Jesus Christ. So when people, you know, say these things about Nutria Carta and some of the Orthodox branches, how, you know, they're against the Zionists going and taking the land. Make no mistake, these other groups want that land. It's just in the timing that they think it's supposed to happen in. So, I also found an article by, well, first we have this Revelation timeline decoded, and that's sort of similar, goes into more detail about that, trying to fulfill the prophecy. But they also, you know, what do we know they were using green screen back in 91 when 1991 when George Herbert Walker Bush was invading Iraq. You know, so we can't tell for certain what's going on, and we know they lie. So you don't want to put any trust in them, and this is kind of disturbing to me because, you know, this Christian information radio, vcyamerica.org, and they have some very good and interesting things. I don't agree with the rapture and the other, you know, doctrines that are false doctrines. But when they're just so gung-ho about protecting Israel and sending funds to them and these extra programs about that, it's disgusting. It's nauseating. Because they know they have these people, the Palestinians, what, 2.4 million at some count, trapped. They know they have a seawall. They know they have them blocked at the borders. And they're telling them to leave. Netanyahu's telling them to get out because they want that land. And meanwhile, well, you know, a couple weeks ago when I had Daryl Wayne on, and that strafing synthesizer, the planes as if they're bombing. You know, it seemed kind of weird to me to play it, but I was being told to play that, you know, that something was coming. But I talked about Wes Clark Kahn, K-A-N-N-E, the Ashkenazi Jew who tried to start World War III in the Balkans. But, you know, time isn't like just a line. It's more like a sphere, I think. And we get repercussions from what's coming back, blowing back from what's going to happen, just as much as we have memories. These are memories that haven't happened yet. So Ashraf Ezzat is an Egyptian, Dr. Ashraf, and he, let's see if I can find that link, where to hide it, here it is. He is basically saying similar things, but he also has covered a lot of different angles that he, you know, says the Bible is made up, and that the Jews were in Yemen, and that's where their different sites are. The city of David is there. And, you know, it's a very lush part of the world, actually. And in World War II, they had, in 49, the Brits and Americans had flights of 50,000 Yemenis Jews taken into Israel, and then they were held in camps, and they take their young children or their babies for a health checkup, supposedly, and come back and tell the mom, sorry, your baby, you know, didn't, your child died. And what they were doing was taking these, you know, pure blood Jewish Yemenis and giving them to Ashkenazi families to raise. So there's a mixture of bloodlines that come out of that, but of course the way they're raised too, and we'll get into more how things, different groups are raised, and they all go back to really the Luciferian bloodline. I'll talk about that at another time too. But he says, Gaza is the only place on earth that's referred to as a strip. What the hell is a strip? It's a tiny place that some humanitarians like to refer to as the largest open-air prison on earth, where, in fact, it should be called a Zionist concentration camp. Whoops. Sorry, I got my little rooster in here with me. He looked like he was on his last leg, so I brought him in here in the sun with me. And then breaching that impenetrable secured borders would be a joke. Unbelievable joke. I agree with that. It would be impossible, insanely impossible, especially given the limited and primitive resources of the Palestinian fighters in Gaza. It's just not possible. Can't be done, except if the Israeli side allowed it. And, well, like I was saying, the people crowding in there beforehand around the mosque, the Jews, Israeli Jews, and trying to drive them out, just doing the things they always do. They consider these people just in the way and animals. And yet they seem to have a higher moral code than the Israelis, the Palestinians do. You know, when they were under siege, they had the power turned off. And when they turned it back on, for the Palestinians, the only thing they could get on TV was porn. Now, why would you do that? You know, if that's such a, you know, a great free speech and right. No, it's a weapon, okay, to demoralize people. But so he also says, Ashraf, as that the notorious Mossad is the real hidden provocateur behind this Al-Aqsa flood cartoonish operation. And don't forget that Hamas is Israel's creation in the first place. And I read that last week, that Michael Gaddy had sent me a little more detail about that. And I'll see if maybe I can get it in the description for this week, for one of the hours. And he says, in the 9/11 attacks, the Mossad had planned to inflict a major attack on American soil that would trigger mass political military reaction, so much so that the American pride and sensibility would be hurt enough to compel them to go to war against whomever the intelligence might specify and target as the enemy, which they did, of course. Afghan and then Iraq. And I think we're going to a break, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Thank you. I guess we're back here. So I'll read a couple more of these from Dr. Ashraf. As that, based on fake intelligence, mostly supplied by the Mossad, about some weapons of mass destruction, the U.S. was blindly dragged like sheep into a bloody war in Iraq. And a couple more highlights. But this time around, Hamas attack and incursion into Israel was more like an inside operation than a war. This means that some Israeli Mossad agents that obviously infiltrated the Gaza circle of command and convinced Hamas leaders that while they were like double agents, they presented themselves as pro-Palestinian, who were giving Hamas a strategic tip on how to reach the borders with Israel and launch their most powerful attacks ever against Israel. Yeah. It's just all this is so, you see it time and time again, and they just bold-faced lie. It's just disgusting. You know, it takes you back to what they did with Germany. And you can go back further, many places, but in the war that split this country apart, people don't realize how much the Jew, the international Jew, the non-Judean, gets so offended. People say Jews, they call themselves that, but you can't. Well, guess what? Satanists. All right, we'll stick with that. Only then the Mossad operation would be a success, and then it would only need the puppet president of the U.S. to make the awaited statement that America stands solid, or rather sleeps in the same bed with Israel. So this man is so studied. And if you think about it, and I had told Michael Rivera this one time, the Aliyah means to go up. Was that to go up to Israel from Yemen? Is that why they called it that to begin with? One wonders. So this State of the Nation article, here's why Netanyahu staged the false flag invasion by Mossad-controlled Hamas exactly when he did. And that goes into this trying to fulfill supposedly prophecy and make it look like, you know, they're the ones that are supposed to be there when they were never the ones that were supposed to be there. Not a classic false flag, but staged by Mossad. Yep. And Netanyahu for RT vows to turn Gaza into ruins. You know, we like to think that Russia is, you know, the good guy. And I mean, we had the psychic. Now I'm forgetting his name. See his face. Edgar Casey. Who said Russia would be the savior, I guess. I forget how he worded it. But they would have kins, which were like couple of hectares, I guess, that had wood and running water on them, wooded land, so that they could have forest gardens. And it would be very prolific with food and would be able to feed all the countries that are now destroying their ability to grow food purposely, it appears. And so it comes upon an abridged list of fastidiously planned genocides and man-made cataclysms carried out by the Khazarian cabal. I thought I'd maybe run through them. And you can, you know, some stand out to you. Well, where's this one? You know, I know that's part of it too. But so this list has, let me see, it starts with Second Boer War, and then Russo-Japanese War, then the sixth cholera epidemic, Mexican Revolution, First and Second Balkan Wars, Armenian Genocide, World War I, Bolshevik Revolution, Russian Civil War, 1918 Spanish Flu Pandemic, the Great Depression, Holodomor Genocide, Chinese Civil War, Spanish Civil War, World War II, the Holocaust. Now, there, I have questions. You know, yeah, it was a Holocaust, but it's what they did to Germany and Japan, for that matter. First Indochina War, Korean War, French-Algerian War, Israel's War of Independence, First Sudanese Civil War, 1956 Suez Crisis, Asian Flu Pandemic, Cuban Revolution, 1967 Six-Day War. Whoops. Okay, now we're at the bottom of the hour. Come back and finish this list off. Thank you, Sam.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Alrighty, I guess we're back here. And we were at the 1967 Six-Day War, which of course is when the U.S. Liberty was attacked, not by accident, as some are trying to rewrite history about. But I wanted to say, too, 50 years later, you know, they got the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier over there now. But in 2017... President Trump, you'll notice he went around to all the countries meeting all the heads of state. That's like the first thing he did. He went around and, PSYOP, and he's in on it and all that other stuff. But there's something else going on with him, with trying to, he was the one that wrote the executive order that got the ball rolling with Epstein and all of that stuff. And there's still all of this going on, and I'm going to talk about that later, like I said, probably after Dr. Byrne next week. So then the following week on the 29th, we'll talk more about that. But in 2017, on June 8th, and you probably won't find this anywhere. I don't even remember where I found it, but it disappeared quick. Trump sent a listening ship like the Liberty off the coast of Israel, off of Tel Aviv. But he also sent the world's largest warship, George Herbert Walker Bush, USS George Herbert Walker Bush, and parked it there off the coast because he was going to Warsaw, Poland, and he didn't want any shenanigans going on, I'm sure, is part of the thinking, and none did. Of course, Israel bragged that, oh, yes, we're, you know, we work together. No, you know, that could have done in Israel in a heartbeat if it had to come to that, you know. But so there are things going on that we just don't know about. Either they go by so quick or they're not reported on at all or removed or made to read differently. So after the 1967 Six-Day War, we have Yom Kippur War, Chinese Cultural Revolution, 1982 Lebanon War, Second Lebanon War, Soviet-Afghan War, Vietnam War, 1968 Hong Kong Flu Pandemic, 1973 Oil Crisis, HIV-AIDS Pandemic, Cambodian Genocide. Okay, so they're kind of out of order here. Okay, Cambodian Genocide, Rwandan Genocide, and that was hellish. Talk about your demons. Oops, I went too far. First and second Chechen Wars, and we don't know a whole lot about that either, but they were pretty brutal. And, oh, let's get past it. Hold on a second. Okay. Black Monday, October 19, 1987. Do people remember that? At the time, about a, what was it? 20% of the stock market crashed, I think. And right after, well, not right after, 1990s, the Japanese banking crisis. 1994, Mexican peso crisis. Yugoslav wars, Iraq wars, 1997, Asian financial crisis. 2000, dot-com bubble burst. 9/11 terrorist attacks. Argentina, debt default, war on terror, Afghanistan war, Syrian war, Libyan war, 2007 real estate market collapse, 2008 stock market crash, 2009 global financial crisis, and Ukraine war is where they end here. COVID-19 pandemic and COVID super vaccination agenda. Yeah, poison. Talk about poison. People accepting poison into their veins because they're afraid. Because they're watching the media and the demons there are telling the demons in their heads to be very afraid and to take this, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. You're afraid. You have to follow up on it. And I was going to say something about one of these, but I forget now what it was. Anyway, so we'll move on I wanted to say too in the chat room, yours truly, myrrh.chatango.com, that is it Detox the Kool-Aid talking about Gurdjieff and Uspensky and the fourth way and how it's pure darkness. And it's funny because today, you know, I was thinking about, yeah, you know, because I'm here on my own and, you know, I keep Christ in my heart all the time but still, you'll get those thoughts that aren't your thoughts. You think they're your thoughts. It's in the voice of your thoughts, but it's not. And this happens to everybody. Like I said, it gets worse with some people, and then they get diagnosed with schizophrenia. Well, you know, I was getting some little negative thoughts going on, and I thought about Gurdjieff. Just weird that I thought about it, because his thing was always stay present, be present, you know? Which is a good thing, but there was a lot of darkness there. But the reason I was thinking about that, too, is because with Frank Lloyd Wright, a friend had a, you know, collects things about Frank Lloyd Wright and had gotten a 1,500-page book called The Fellowship, and so they let me read it. And Gurdjieff was in there, too, and his, I guess it was Wright's wife, one of them, his second wife or whatever, but, and she may have had his child, but just all the goings on with them, and Wright used a lot of the stuff with Gurdjieff, and Wright was one of these guys that, yeah, he's talented and everything, but his young apprentices and assistants, he would take their work a lot of times, their designs, and, you know, make it into something, call it his own, and he was famous for the open prairie style homes and all that, and supposedly to protect children, when in fact it's the opposite. And that gets into with the Jesse Sobodor and the Luciferian Brotherhood and stuff too. His houses were known to be places where they would meet and, you know, confer and do some of these things. So I think I want to get started with Jerry Marcinski here, and we're going to play a lot of this. And, you know, unless I see questions or if I have something I want to add, I'll ask Sam to stop it. So if you want to start that at that, what was it, 6 minute something there, Sam?
At a point where I've got a question in regards to your work. So you finished university with all your degrees and so forth. You're working in the emergency hospitals, the prisons with the all kinds of criminals, and in particular with people who hear voices in their head. Would that be correct?
Yes.
And what you did at one point, and you can let us know, you began to monitor what these voices were and what they were saying. Do you maybe want to take us off from there?
Well, yeah, I can take off from there. I remember when I got to, I started work at probably the biggest psychiatric hospital on the planet. It's Central State Hospital in Milledgeville, Georgia. There were over 10,000 patients there when I got there. And for somebody who was an adrenaline junkie and was interested in abnormal psychology, that was like, you know, being in a candy store. So when I first got there, I was brainwashed by the institutions like everybody else. I believed the voices were hallucinations, that I believed there was a chemical imbalance in their brains. I mean, all the stuff that they were teaching in the universities. And then slowly things started turning to where if you were watching, they didn't make any sense in terms of what I was taught. One of the first things I saw, they were hammering the cause of schizophrenia. And they were saying, well, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. And I'm like, well, where did that come from? And what I noticed was that the psychiatrists, not all of them, not a single one of them gave any kind of lab work or any kind of test or EKG, EEG, nothing before prescribing these psychiatric drugs. So it's like, if there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, where's the baseline? How did they know what's out of balance by how much? You know, if they're not given any kind of lab work or any other kind of test to measure what's going on in there. So I asked one of them, and he said, we leave that to the drug companies. They do all that kind of stuff. I said, well, but you still don't have a baseline. I mean, you have all these drugs that you can use. You don't know which ones work best with which. And what they were doing was they just start off with whatever drug they thought would work, and then they just keep doing a merry-go-round until they found one that would work the best, in their opinion. So there was no baseline. I found that they never had one. This biochemical imbalance thing was made up by Eli Lilly in the 70s when they came out with Prozac, because they needed some excuse for why their medicines worked, and they didn't have one. So they just made up the biochemical.
I just wanted to say and remind people, too, that the HHS secretary, Alex Azar, was from Eli Lilly, and he uniformed his people as if he was making a little army. And I just remember at one point catching one of the cabinet roundtables, and they Trump would give them like each a minute. You know, it was hardly any time, but this is what was on this guy's mind. This man from Eli Lilly, Alex Azar, was to all the high school children should be checked and see if they need to be on medication. That was basically his message. So go ahead, Sam.
Have one. So they just made up a biochemical imbalance, and Lilly at the time, they knew it was wrong, and they went with it anyway. So they started, funding. Oh, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. And So if you look at what they did, that they started off with blaming mothers for causing schizophrenia in the kid. Oh, the mother did this, the mother did that, the mother, you know, the mother did something. But that was, you know, the mothers would go, well, we didn't do anything. And you know, it was obvious that you could look and see what the mothers were doing, and they couldn't find anything. So what they did is they moved it up a notch into the biochemical imbalance thing. And then only a very small percentage of the population could investigate that. You know, counselors couldn't do it, psychiatrists couldn't do it, doctors couldn't do it. You needed a biochemist to investigate that. So they were safe with that excuse, because who's going to challenge it? You know, who out of the population is going to challenge it? The only people who could was a very small group of biochemists, and they weren't interested in schizophrenia for the most part. So it took years for them to get around to going, hey, we don't see anything here. You know? And they completely blew apart their theory. Well, it's not a biochemical imbalance. And before that, they started with the genetics. So here they're getting the excuses, and they're moving them up to where people can't investigate. So they, after the mothers, they went, well, it's something wrong with their genes. It's a genetic thing, disorder. And then they went from a genetic disorder to it's a multiple genetic disorder. It's not just one gene. It's many. Who's going to know that? Who's going to investigate that except these geneticists? So again, a small group of geneticists looked at it, and they go, we don't see anything. We don't see any genetic link to this. And so it blew away both their excuses, and now they're back to ground level one, where they either have to admit that that was what they put out was a lie, or that they don't know what causes schizophrenia, and both of those are true. You know, they put this propaganda out to I call them the psychiatric mafia, and Big Pharma was, you know, they're like the drug pushers for Big Pharma. The psychiatry is. So, you know, I noticed, well, there's no truth to that. I mean, they have no, you know, they're not giving any lab tests. They don't have any baseline. Turns out they have no idea what the biochemical balance of the neurotransmitters in the brain should be. None. They don't even know. They just made this stuff up and pushed this propaganda on an unsuspecting population. You know? So what they're doing is very devious. I mean, and then the same thing with the voices. I mean, you're coming out of graduate school. Now, all they told us was, well, the voices are hallucinations. You know, so what I thought was, you know, they were like verbal garbage or, you know, verbal salad. That they didn't make any sense. You know, but the first time that I saw a patient talking to them, it sounds like they're talking to somebody on the telephone. You can only hear one side of the conversation, and it's coherent. So I was surprised to see that, because I was thinking it was like going to be like a verbal salad of some kind that would just didn't make any sense. The other thing that I remember was in undergraduate school, they told us that They made us read a research paper written by a clinical psychologist, and what it said was that if two crazy guys with the same hallucinations met, like if both of them thought that they were Macron, one of them would have to give way and change to something else. And I'm thinking, like, why would that have to happen? You know, that makes no sense. But we didn't have access to a clinical population. I didn't really have access to a clinical population until the end of my master's degree. And even then, it was a prison population. It wasn't an actual clinical population. So I can tell you from in the 40 years I've been working on the front lines of mental health, I never, ever saw a researcher on the front lines. It was all coming out of the universities. The universities were taken over by the Rockefellers in 1910. Where they took over the U.S. Congress, paid them off or whatever they did, and they made it a law that the only schools that could graduate doctors were those that were teaching pharmacology. you know, or pharmacological-based medicine. So nobody could graduate doctors if they weren't teaching drugs, if they weren't pushing drugs. So it was at that time that the drug industry took over medicine. So they would pay off the universities to print what they wanted to print, to put out articles that they wanted to get out, and it all went through the universities. Nobody was on the front lines that I saw doing any research whatsoever. So they controlled the universities. So they controlled what was published, and along with that was they published that the voices were hallucinations. They didn't do any research on that either. They just go, well, these people are hearing voices. We're not hearing voices. They must be hallucinations because we don't understand what they are. They don't know what they were. They didn't do any research on them at all. And so here's another one. You know, no research, another lie that they published just because it backed their drug thing. It's like, well, there's nothing that can be done for schizophrenia except drugs, hard drugs. And they're making billions of dollars a year selling psychiatric drugs that cure absolutely nothing. They don't get rid of the voices. They don't get rid of the condition. You know, it's a psychiatric mafia, and it's a huge scam. So they don't cure anything. You know, what they might do is they'll lower the voices, they'll weaken the voices, they'll calm the person down, because for the most part they're major tranquilizers, but they don't cure anything. And neither do the antidepressants. I mean, it's just this big scam that they perpetuated on the entire population. And so when I got to the state hospital, nobody was curious about what the voices were saying. You know, it was like, what are they telling them? And it was real clear that the voices were somehow affecting these people. You know, they were making them do strange things. So if they listened to these voices, they would get themselves in a lot of trouble. They'd quit their classes. They'd get into fights. They'd get all kinds of bizarre behavior if they were listening to these voices. And I started asking the staff. I said, well, what are the voices telling them? Well, they're hallucinations. We don't know. Said, well, who knows what the hallucinations are? But they didn't know. They had no idea. So I started asking the patients myself, because nobody else knew and nobody else was interested. When they felt that they knew what they were, they didn't ask any more questions. It's like, oh, well, they're just hallucinations. That's what they are. You know, and they just accepted that. So I started asking them, and I got into trouble for it. Right away, one of them told the psychiatrist that I was asking him what the voices were. I ended up in the psychiatrist's office being run down, the psychiatrist saying, you're asking these people what their voices are, and you're upsetting them. You know, you need to stop that immediately. They're hallucinations, and what you're doing by asking questions about what they are is you're making them worse. You're reinforcing the hallucinations in the patient. You're making the patient worse. By then, I knew that that wasn't the case, because I'd been doing it for a while before they found out about it. That happened to me twice. They don't even want you looking into it. So I had to be real careful there. But some patterns started emerging. And one of the first patterns were, it took probably 2 years to learn how to talk to these patients about the voices, because there's no positive benefit to them about talking about these voices at all. You know, they tell their friends about them, and their friends go, oh, you're possessed. We're going to get away from you. We can't deal with you. Or they frighten them off. They tell their parents about them. They end up in a psychiatrist's office. The psychiatrist tells them their brain is broken, they're hallucinating, and that the only treatment for it is these toxic drugs that actually shrink their brain with long-term use. So they are toxic. They're poisonous. And it turns them into semi-zombies. They don't feel like the person they actually were. It changes their personality for the most part. And they don't like those drugs, and neither do the voices. So one of the first things I found, and it was, I found the more I asked these people what the voices were, patterns started emerging. And one of the first patterns was that these voices were negative. they would tell the patient, well, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're no good, you won't ever amount to anything, nobody likes you, your parents hate you, every negative thing that you could think of. And it's thoughts that most of us have had at some time or another, but they're consistently negative. There's very little, if anything, that's positive. And if they do tell them something that's positive, it's only to get their trust and come around and stab them in the back later. So the first question I had was, why are they consistently negative? If they're actually hallucinations, then why aren't they all over the place? Why aren't they random? Why aren't some positive? Why aren't some negative? Why aren't they just all over the place like hallucinations are? You know, I've worked in hospitals long enough to see what hallucinations were, and they're just all over the place. They're scattered. There's no pattern to them. So the big question then is, why aren't these things running? What is holding them from being random? Why aren't they random?
Okay, we'll be back after the top of the hour. Thank you, Sam.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.